Come on, let's do it a little bit better than that. Oh, Father, we feel your presence in this place. We feel your presence in this place. If you got your Bibles, the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Man, what a great crowd here tonight. And so thankful to be here. Love this church. You good, godly, praying people. Thankful for you. The kingdom's better because this church is here. And I miss your pastor. Now, I'm going to be honest. There's not many men I do this for. I pastor a church, so I don't need to come babysit somebody else's. And but when he called, I had one word come to me, and I was like, okay, God, I'll go. And so while I've been up here, I wasn't texting on the phone. I was looking up some words because it's kind of started downloading. I don't have a sermon tonight, but I do feel connected to the spirit of this church, where it's going, what God wants to do. And I'm thankful your pastor and his family. I love them dearly, and my love for them has grown so much over the last few years. And to be able to be a part of this church from afar, and sometimes get to sneak in every once in a while, is such a great blessing to see what the Lord is doing in this place. And if you haven't recognized it or not, this church has got a unique favor on it. Well, about five of you. I said a unique favor of the Lord's on this church. And that's God-given. That's God-given. But just because it's God-given doesn't mean that it's just going to happen to you. You got to tap into what the Lord's doing. You know, anybody in the world can unite around purpose. Purpose unity is not uncommon in our world today. You see all kinds of things, some good, some bad, all uniting around a purpose. But I can promise you, there's only one thing in this earth that can get in a spirit of unity, and that's the church. And the spirit of unity is something we're going to tap into tonight, because I feel like God has cultivated a new hunger in this church. I feel deep wells, old wells, new wells has been dug in this place. I feel a deep, deep presence of God. Every time I come in here, there's new wells. There's a greater depth every time I walk in this place. But can I tell you, God wants to take us beyond purpose and get us to the spirit of unity. And I believe God's going to do something in the mind of his people. If you got your Bible, 2 Chronicles, thank you to all the ministry that's here. So glad you're my friends. Thank you that you've been so kind to me since I've been here. Good to see Blake. You know, Blake used to love me. He'd come home every once in a while. Now, instead of coming to my missions conference, he goes on vacation. And he's leaving. Where's Mabry at? Okay, I was about to say, I come all this way to see her, and she's sleeping already. Don't worry, there'll be about 25 others that's about to join you. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Good to have my friends here that drove me, Brother Steve and Colston. Colston's in depression here tonight because the pastor's daughter's not here. And y'all pray for him. Amen. You know, I've lived 48 years so I could embarrass people. Praise the Lord. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared. Everybody say Jehoshaphat feared. Set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Not all fear is bad. Sometimes when trouble comes, it makes you go to the right direction. And this trouble caused Jehoshaphat to seek the Lord and to proclaim a fast. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of the cities of Judah. And they came to seek the Lord. Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem. and in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord God, our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? In thy hand is there not power, might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction. Then thou wilt hear and help. And everybody say, and now, behold the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not. Everybody say, wouldest not. Let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. I'm going to talk to this church tonight about from this thought. Now, I need you to lean in. I don't know how loud I'll get tonight, but I want to speak to the foundation of this church. I want to talk to you tonight from this thought, the things that God allows to live. The things that God allows to live. Would you put your Bibles down, lift your hands with me, and would you help me pray? Father, I love you so much. And I am so thankful for your presence that's in this place today. For the goodness of the Lord that's here, for the worship, God, that has gone forth, the songs of Zion that has been sung tonight. I pray tonight, God, that your word would have its way in this place. Lord, that it would be exalted above your name tonight, that you would touch our hearts and our minds, and you would elevate the way we think, God, to match, Lord, every prophetic word that has been given us. Lord, we give you praise in Jesus' name. If you're going to help me preach, why don't you lift your hands, and I'm talking about shout to the Lord. Would you do that? Come on, would you just shout to Jesus? I thank you, Holy Ghost. I thank you, Holy Ghost. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. You may be seated tonight in the fear of the Lord. I know I look very young tonight, but I'm not nearly as young as I look. I've been fortunate to pastor a great church for 19 years, and in that 19 years, I've learned a thing or two. And what I have learned is that there's not a day that there's not pressure on us. That when you want to walk in the favor of God, you're going to feel the pressure of the world. And that there's not really a time that this thing, really, you get in a groove and you never notice the trouble and situations and things. How many of you can say right now, I'm walking through some things, but I know the Lord's with me? It's a unique thing to walk with God and trust God. In fact, when you look that word trust up, when you trust the Lord, it is talking about, like, now I'm not a welder, but it's talking about when you weld two things together. They say when you weld two things together, you might break something, but you won't ever break the weld. And because when you trust the Lord, there is this unique ability God has got that can never be broken. That's why the greatest power or the greatest level of faith is trust. And we must, somebody shout, we must. We must learn how to trust Him. In pastoring, I have found that God will cultivate hunger. God will use purpose to rally people around the cause of Christ. But there is a deeper call that comes to God's church. If churches are going to walk in God's favor, they've got to hear this call that is greater than just purpose. They've got to hear a great call to think the way God thinks. Not think like you are a God, but think the way God thinks. Now, I know this is probably a Wednesday night message, but I promise you I've heard from the Lord, and I want to help you tonight. When Paul was talking about let this mind be in you, that's in Christ, he was telling us the goal of prayer. See, the goal of prayer is not to twist God's arm or even to make God think the way you think. But the goal of prayer is for us to think the way God wants us to think. See, when you begin to think the way God thinks, you will walk in a unique ability to trust God no matter where you walk. And everybody's praying for a Book of Acts experience, but nobody wants the platform that persecution built for the Book of Acts to have a Book of Acts. And see, you got to be able to see things the right way. You got to be able to pray until God anoints your mind in such a way that you don't see the trouble, you see the purpose of God. And that God's purpose is greater than your comfort. It's greater than what you desire. It's amazing to me that we've got a generation that wants to be influencers today. That's the new word. Hey, what you gonna be when you grow up? A YouTuber. Huh? A what? A YouTuber. I'm gonna be an influencer, an Instagram person. I'm gonna take pictures of my dinner and get a million followers by showing that fried chicken. But it's funny to me because I can promise you if Jesus was walking this earth right now, he wouldn't have a million followers on Instagram. In fact, Isaiah said when they looked at him, there was no beauty that you would desire him. It wasn't the image that walked on the earth that they could see. But it was his ability that when he spoke, those words that he spoke burned within their soul. He looked like an ordinary man, but he wasn't. He was God manifest in flesh with the power to create with his words and save with his hand and heal with the power of his words. He had something unique about him. And can I tell the church today, we better quit getting caught up in the image or the formality of religion and understand that God is doing his best to change the way we think. Why? Because he wants you to understand if he can ever take control of your mind, he will take control of every area in your life. Now, the Bible tells us that the Apostle Peter looked at him and said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory, somebody say glory, shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. He said, if you will get your mind right, you will not think it strange walking through the fiery trials of the devil. And the reason why is because he wants you to see the revealed glory. What does that word glory mean? It's simple. It belongs to God. Whatever belongs to God is God's glory. And see, when our thoughts are controlled by the kingdom of God, God can trust us with trouble. trouble, to walk through trouble and understand that when He puts us there, that there is a picture of stability and power and anointing, and His will can be done in the middle of trouble. I hope you're not just clapping because I've stopped. I hope there's something that's trying to get a hold of your mind, because see, some of you have got strange thinking. Some of you sitting thinking that God has isolated you from His presence because of things that you are walking through. But I want you to understand tonight that things that these pressures that we are feeling against us right now are the very things that God wants to turn around and use as weapons to testify that God is faithful and His glory is real and His power can do anything and His hand can bring us out of everything. You got to get your thought process right. You got to think the right way. You got to understand that God's allowing some things to live because God understands that there is a time, and there's a time that you, listen to me. Your enemy is necessary. I know you don't think it. But some of you don't realize the things that pushed you in this service tonight, it's necessary. The things that keep you connected to the altar, it's necessary. The things that make you see yourself as frail and incapable are necessary. Am I boring you tonight? You got to get that in your mind. You got to get that in your spirit. Now, I want you to understand, there's a lot of us here today that we can't see the forest because of the trees. We get caught up in our own life, and we can't see how detailed God is, because when we look around, we can't see the progress that we've made. Do you want to know what I have found out in our world today? Is people don't know how to measure progress. Let me tell you something. I don't expect God. I don't think if I started running, which is not going to happen, if I started running tomorrow, what was that? I had a guy in our church that was going to help me get off the couch and do a 3K. Y'all ever seen that app? It didn't work. I thought when you put that thing in your phone that meant it worked. Anyway, y'all get that tomorrow. It don't work. I never got past the couch. You know, but we don't know how to measure. We don't know how to measure growth. And I look at this church, and what you don't understand is some of the pressure that you feel, the frustration that you feel. If you're not careful, you won't see the blessings of God because of the chaos in your life. Now, you got to understand something about God. God is a God of time. We talk about eternity all the time, but we don't realize that when God looks at us, he doesn't look at us in a 24-hour time period. I know this isn't going to be popular tonight, but I want you to realize, people call my office. If I wanted to meet every day, I could meet every day, every hour, and I go to the office every day, Monday through Saturday. Ask my wife. I go to the office every day. I'm an office guy. I love the office. I go pray, go study, go meet. Well, not, but people want, and here's what gets me, is when people want you, they think they need you right then. But the problem was the situation been going on for a long length of time. Am I making sense? And you got to understand something about God. The way you look at trouble is the way God views victory. Now, I know I'm in a United Pentecostal UPCI church. You know what that means? Nothing. I don't think God's going to check that box at them pearly gates. Now, I'm a UPCI preacher. You know what that means? Nothing. Mean nothing. Now, somebody's going to say, you're ripping. I'm not ripping the organization. I'm just telling you, I understand where I'm at. But I'm telling you, we get these things and we get these rules. And we list these rules that we keep, and we call it holiness. But the problem is, holiness has nothing to do with the list of rules. It has everything to do with how close you get to Him. See, you can have a list of rules and never be by Him. But I can promise you, the closer you get to Him, the longer the list of rules are going to get. Okay, am I making sense? And see, when God looks at victory, He don't look at you as a failure. Some of you don't realize that when you walked in here today, God was up there looking at them angels saying, I told you they'd go to church today. I know they got all this trouble going on in their life. I know hell has fought them all week. I know they accidentally messed up yesterday. But look, they got a love inside of their heart. Come on. See, God knows how to measure growth. And what this church has got to understand is that there is a prophetic word that has lived in this church that has nothing to do with any preacher that has ever held the microphone behind this pulpit. The prophetic word that God spoke over this church was before the world began, and it had grace connected to it. That every time the devil thought it was going to knock the purpose of God out of this church, God's grace swept in and said, no, not today, devil. Every time the devil thought he was going to knock the purpose of God out of you, God has swept in and said, no, 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 no. I don't think I'm going to let you do that today. So I want you to listen to this. The Bible said that He told them, little and little I will drive out from before thee. He said that the increase and that you might inherit the land. Here's what He was trying to tell them. He said, look, if I gave everything to you, you don't even have enough ability to man all of this. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let the enemy live all around you. And little by little, I'm going to let you take territory. And see, what you have got to understand about creating culture of revival in a church, about praying through people, about building up crowds, about growing in Bible studies, about the depth of prayer that's in a church, is that this thing doesn't happen overnight. It happens little by little. It happens when people just make up their mind every day, I'm going to do what God called me to do. I'm going to do it today. And see, what you need not do is get lost in the forest and not see the promise that God has had on your life because you don't think the right way, because you view the enemy as a nuisance, and God is telling you to view the enemy as one that is keeping the increase for you. Come on, I'm telling you, some of you are going to look at the trouble one day and say, I can tell you everything God has ever done. Come out of that trouble right there. The things that God has done in my family, in my life, the unity that God has brought back within us has come out of that trouble. See, God's a master. God's a master at turning evil into good. And when we start walking in God's authority and God's promise, what we'll find is that this little by little sometimes can get us discouraged. How many of you ever tried to break a cycle? Huh? They're not easy to break. Y'all there? I mean, I don't know. I guess the only real addiction I probably had was Big Debbie's. Hallelujah. When you're trying to break some kind of cycle, and cycles are more than drugs and alcohol, eating and cussing and stealing and lying. Cycles can be a relationship with God that gets no deeper than the shallow end of you just coming to church. See, our problem is some of you really think you're saved because you showed up for two services on
Sunday, but you ain't prayed all week. I'm not trying to be rude today. I'm just saying that's the mindset. Well, I'm here. I remember one time I told somebody, now I don't want to say nothing. I'm just rude to people. Yeah, right. I was walking to church. I said, my God, it's so good to see you. And this lady told me, she said, well, you ought to be thankful that I'm here. And I was like, well, I'm thankful. She said, well, you should be. And I said, well, I sure hope the Lord is. You know, I had this lady tell me one time, she come up, she said, Pastor, I'm telling you right now, if I get to heaven and we didn't have to do all this stuff, I'm finding you. And when I find you, I said, don't worry. Don't worry, you ain't going. Hey, that's one, just take that worry off your mind right there. You ain't going, old bitter. Oh, sweet Lord Jesus. Yeah. The cycle can be just some apostolic. I'm bored. I'm fourth, fifth. I'm going to tell you right now. Here's what I know. When somebody tells you they're fifth generation Pentecost, they're telling you they're carnal. I've been raised in this thing. Well, why don't you act like it? We need fifth generations with first generation experiences. Boy, it's getting... I'm feeling good. I'm not nervous at all. I know some of y'all think because I'm going so slow, I'm going to be here a long time. That's why I don't wear a watch. Here's the problem with cycles and deliverance. Cycles and deliverance feel the same. Now think about this. God gives them their first city of Jericho. And what does he tell them to do? Walk around the wall. Here's the problem with it. Here's why they were getting frustrated. Because they stopped where they started. Am I right? Now, I'm telling you, I know y'all didn't know this, but I'm an expert in the Greek and Hebrew. When they walked around that wall one time, that means they stopped where they started. Now, I'm going to just tell you. You put Dr. Thornton. I didn't earn it, but that's a pretty good one. They did the second day. They walked around, and guess what they did? They stopped where they started. Starting to feel like a cycle. And see, what you don't understand about deliverance and cycles, they can feel the same. But it's the way your mind looks at them. I'm just going to give you the difference. The difference between a cycle and deliverance is one cycle is done out of your flesh. It's done for comfort. It's done because you've lost your energy, your zeal, your anointing. It's a cycle of life that leaves you in frustration without the voice of God. It's like Moses tending to his sheep, but looking at that burning bush and just ignoring it till finally the Bible said he turned aside. It's you seeing the voice of God from afar, but being okay with the cycle of your life. But deliverance is doing what God told you to do, no matter how it looks or how it feels. And see, what you don't understand is, yeah, they were finishing where they were starting, but God had a plan, and they were operating in the most greatest expression of faith. They were being obedient. Am I making sense right now? It might have looked like nothing was happening, but because they were obeying the voice of the Lord, they were going to take the territory. It just wasn't going to happen like that. Finally, they do that 6 days, and on the seventh day, they walk around that wall seven times, and it falls down because deliverance is simple obedience. It can feel a lot like a cycle, but I'm telling you, it has a promise at the end of it. Listen to me. Listen. Lean into me, church. I wish that I could tell you it was going to be so sensational that when you walked in here, you never have no devils in your life. You never feel like you were on one verge of defeat. Or you were about to lose your mind, or things were just going to be this hard. But I'm telling you, if you're going to walk with God, you're going to feel the pressures of the world. But I promise you, we will not be defeated. God's got a reason. God's got territory. God's got blessing. God's got favor. It's little by little. It's little by little. Little by little. Well, Pastor, I don't understand why you're doing all this. What's little by little? Little by little. You know, somebody tells me, I had a guy call me the other day and said, I want to know how you get to this number of people. And I said, What do you mean? He said, I want you to know how you go from this number to this number. And I said, you tell me. He's like, well, y'all have done it there. I said, I don't know what we've done. I said, I think it's just little by little. Longevity. I said, how long you been there? He said, I've been here 5 years. I said, well, compare that to 19. Little by little. It didn't happen overnight. It wasn't some super method. It wasn't because the pastor's brilliant. It wasn't because we got a bunch of systems. Oh, God, I'm messing up every church growth concept right now, ain't I? It was because every day we made up our mind. We were going to walk, and I know I'm boring some of you, but I promise you, if I could ever get you to think this way, I promise, all we did was wake up the next morning and make our mind that we were going where God called us to go. We preached about a school, and it took years to get a school, but we got a school. We preached about a daycare. It took years to get a daycare, but we got a daycare. We just got up, filled the prayer room, filled the altars, worshiped God, and just little by little. Little by little. Come on, and I'm telling this church, the ground that you've taken over the last few years is incredible, but we've got to make up our mind. It might be little by little, but there's a prophetic word on us, and the devil can't change it, and the devil can't take it away, and there's not anything in this world that could stop it. Somebody shout little by little. I don't know why God allows things to live. Can you imagine Jehoshaphat? He wakes up one day and he's got five kings that's joined one another and they're coming after him to kill him and surround him. So here's what he said. He looked at that trouble and he let it motivate him the right way. He didn't look at it and say, man, God ain't heard my prayer. He didn't look at it and say, I need to quit serving God. I need to be unfaithful to the Lord. He didn't look at it and say, I need a backslide. That crazy preacher, them crazy prophets have been prophesying. And look where we are now. He called it. He said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Everybody get to the house that we built for the Lord. We're going to seek the face of God. And we're going to pray. And we're going to fast. And here they are. They're fasting and they're praying. And he starts telling God about how great he is. But he's doing it in question form. Aren't you our God? Aren't you the God that ran out the inhabitants? Aren't you the God that's been with us? We've built this place for your name. And we built it because if evil ever came upon us, if the sword ever came upon us, if pestilence or famine ever came upon us, we could come to this house and we could call on your name and you would help us. He saw it the right way. His mind saw it the right way. Now you gotta lean into this. You gotta get it. There's gotta be some stability in your life. That things don't push you out, they pull you in. That you don't get discouraged because you've got a place that you built in your life. That's the purpose of God. Let me tell you something. The culture of this church will be changed by those that come and visit this place every day. Walk in here and get between the altar and the foyer, and they'll fall somewhere in here, put their face in the carpet and say, this is the place of clarity and stability. This is the place where the Lord speaks. You know what I know? I'm going to get in trouble, but I don't care. I live my life in trouble. You know one thing that I saw on my drive down here? Y'all got some churches around here. I mean, dear Lord Jesus. Church here, church there, church here, church there. I'm thinking, man, you could find anything you wanted. You probably could find it. Huh? Somebody say, I ain't looking. Good job. I mean, y'all got some churches around here. What separates a real church from a building? It's the mentality that you have. Man, I hope I hadn't lost this service today. It's the way you think. And Jehoshaphat's praying and seeking the Lord and fasting. And he gets to the Lord and he said, Lord, this enemy that surrounds us, you didn't let us defeat it. And now they're greater than we are. They're mightier than we are. And they're repaying us by surrounding us, and they're about to destroy us. This battle is too big for us. His mind starts getting twisted wrong. And he forgot about the word little by little by little. Listen to me. And I promise you I'm going to get to preaching, and we're getting out of here in the next 10 minutes. But I need you to hear what I'm about to say right now. What makes a church great is their ability to discern what enemies they're supposed to take out, when they're supposed to take them out. See, you don't understand what I'm saying, but I'm going to tell you. God did not send me to 108 WT Hempel Drive to be a fighter. He sent me there to take territory. And I've had to learn and to be patient as a congregation, to be patient as a pastor, to be able to discern what, when to fight what, at what time. And they stayed away from this enemy because it was orchestrated by God, because they weren't ready to man the cities that they were about to take. They weren't ready to collect the spoil that they were about to take. Are you hearing me? And God said, they go to God saying, now this enemy has gotten so big, they're bigger and stronger than we are, and we don't know what we're going to do. And the Bible said the prophet of the Lord began to prophesy. And here's what he told them. He said, I want you to stand still. You don't need to fight. I want you to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But see, when you think the right way, Jehoshaphat's like, and I've heard preachers preach this wrong my whole life. They got up and said that God said to put worshipers out there. God never said to put worshipers out there. God told them, stand still and see. But Jehoshaphat said, if we're not going to have to fight in the physical, we're fixing to set a pattern of how to win in the spirit. Oh, God, you're not hearing me. And here's the principle. Here's the principle. God told him, said, this battle is not yours but mine. When does the battle get off your plate? When it's too big for you to win by yourself. And see, some of you, your mind is caught up in things you can't change. That's a tactic of an enemy to get your mind off the things that are real and right. Can I tell you what God wants you to do? He wants you to put your weapons of warfare down and pick up your weapons of spiritual warfare. He's wanting you to understand there ain't nothing you can do about that. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can declare the goodness of the Lord. Now, come on, musicians. I'm going to try to get enough energy to preach this the right way. But I got to get you to see this point. The greatest spirit that we fight in churches, I'm talking about in totality of a church, is discouragement. Has this church ever been through something where families have walked out and it was a gut punch? You looked and you went, oh. You know what? I can say this as a pastor. I've got pastor friends. They tell, now, not your pastor. But I got pastor friends. They tell me all the time, man, I lost these people. My God, thank God they left. I ain't ever lost anybody that I wanted to leave. Right. And I'm telling you the truth. You can ask my wife. I'm telling you, I've never lost no devils. Now, I lost some people that pretended to be devils. But I've got this unique ability. I'm telling you right now. Y'all think I'm being crazy. I got this unique ability. I see the good in everybody. I see the good. I realize, and I'm going to tell you right now, there ain't more trouble than empty seats. I'd rather have full seats and trouble instead of empty and nothing. I'm just telling you the truth. And I can tell you, you get people in the presence of God a long time, God will yank them enough to get them straightened out. Are you hearing me? But you ever felt something? You ever went through discouragement? Anybody ever been discouraged here? I took our church. We were getting letters of foreclosure, $65,000 behind on the mortgage. Didn't have no money in the bank. Didn't know what to do. Payment was $32,000, $33,000 a month. I didn't know what to do. Getting sued. The former pastor was suing us. I don't even know what he's suing us for. He knew we didn't have nothing. Okay, yeah, that didn't go over right, did it? I didn't know what to do. I went and done this deposition. I come home. My wife looked at me. I was pale. She said, "My God, Nathan, do you feel bad? You're so pale." I was like, "No, I'm all right." I walked in my office. My office in my old house didn't have a window. And I walked in there and shut the door. I fell on that couch. And I laid on that couch like God was going to give me a counseling session. And every time I would say, "God, I don't understand why this would happen," I'd start talking about 10 things that he'd done for me. Then I'd say something negative, about 10 positive things come out of my mouth. And I didn't mean for the positive things to come out. But when you talk about God, you're going to find out. That's what some of you need to do right now. Some of you need to quit challenging his integrity and just start talking about how good he is. Because when you talk about him, you're going to say something good about him. And I went from the couch to the floor, and before I knew it, all that depression left me. All that overwhelmed feeling had walked out of my spirit. And I got to thinking, you know what? It doesn't matter what's coming against me on the outside. That if this battle is too big for me, there's a principle that if I can't do nothing with it, I'm fixing to adapt Jehoshaphat's principle, and I'm fixing to put some praise out in front. Now I'm closing. I know I've got another unique ability. I can close for 30 minutes. Y'all tell your pastor I was exciting. Y'all were slinging from the chandeliers. Y'all tell him that. If he's watching, they don't have the camera on the crowd. They're swinging from y'all don't have no chandeliers, but they're swinging. Jehoshaphat, his word was to stand still. They were to go to the watchtower in that wilderness, and they were to look down and watch the battle. But here's the problem when you become a person that watches the battle. You'll get discouraged because you'll not know who's winning. How many of you looked in situations that God's brought you through and there was times you didn't think you were winning? How many of you feel like you might not be winning, right? Don't raise your hand. But you feel like you might not be winning right now. You know, that's an act of the devil. So here's what Jehoshaphat said. We're not going to watch no battle. If God's going to fight it, at least, if God's going to fight the battle, at least what we could do is praise him. Oh, God. And the Bible said that he put worshipers and musicians in front of those warriors. And the Bible said when they begin to praise the Lord, that God set ambushments against their enemy. Sweet Jesus. And when they got to where they were supposed to see the battle, guess what? The battle was already won. All they got to see was that the enemy had turned on itself and killed one another, and there was a spoil sitting down there that took them 3 days to get it. And see, here's what I'm saying. Somebody said, "You should have just said this the first 10 minutes, we could have went home." Here's what I'm trying to tell you. This church, the next posture is to understand the enemy and to realize that God's only allowed the enemies in your life the enemies that attack this church here for a reason. Because they are, whether you realize it or not, they are keeping your harvest at a point where when God gets ready for you to reap it, you're going to be able to reap it. Listen, I hear people say, if you're going to go take that city, you got to know the stronghold that's in that city. What's the devil's name? I don't care about the devil's name. I can promise you there's not many churches that pray any better than our church. I can promise you that. And I don't teach them to go in there and that we got to bring down all these strongholds of these cities, because when it comes to God and worship and authority and prophetic promises on churches, there's not anything the devil can do about it. I tell them we're going to take it with apostolic authority and worship. We're going to understand that the enemy is not meant to destroy us, but it's meant to exalt us. We're going to understand if God didn't give us the power to overtake it, there's a reason, and at His timing, God will give us the ability to overtake it. I want this church to get it in your spirit. I want you to say, little by little, God, you're going to give it to us, little by little, little by little. Come on, are you hearing me today? God, put in these people the mind to think the way you think and to see the things that you see. In Jesus' name. Stand with me tonight. See, submission gives you the power to resist. Submission gives you the power to resist. And what you don't understand is what comes with submission is pressure. When you submit to God, you're going to fight the pressure of the things that God wants to give to you. I believe that every church has got levels. I've seen in 19 years, and I'm not talking about with church attendance, even though church attendance seemed to go with some of these levels. But we break ceilings in the way we think and the way we view things and the way we see things. And when we get spontaneous with the way we believe and with the worship that we have, it's not cliches or buttons being pushed. It's an authority that hovers over a church. It's a culture of a church that sees God the right way. Can I tell this church right now, you listen to me. God's hands on you. God's spirit's in this building. Come on, His hand is in your family. His hand is in your life. There is something big that God wants to do in this place, and you've started tasting. I feel the cultivating of strong hunger for the things of God. But I'm telling you, if we're going to get to where God wants us to get, we've got to start thinking the right way. We got to start saying that enemy's not meant to destroy me, but it's meant to promote me. If God's allowing these things to go on, it's God's battle. And I'm going to be a worshiper. I'm going to lean into the unseen realm, and I'm going to trust God with everything I'm going through, with everything that's happening in my life. I'm going to trust Him. Somebody say, I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to trust Him. I've seen this. I was just a young. I'm the youngest grandbaby in our family. I was a lot younger than probably 10 years younger than any of them, of our other grandkids, the next one. But we had one of my cousins had a child that their leg was twice the size as the other leg. And I'll never forget, my grandmother called a family meeting and a prayer meeting. We come in her living room to pray. And I was just a kid. I was sitting over there. And I don't even know if my mom and dad was there. But I was sitting on that couch and we were praying. I wasn't raised in church. My grandparents was. My parents stopped going when I was about 3. And so they're praying. And I'll never forget, my grandmother walked over there and she took that uncut hair. She laid it on that leg of that child. She said some of the strangest things that I've ever heard in my life. She said, God, I've not cut my hair, not because a man preaches it. I've not cut my hair, God, because you said I'd have power with you. I've not cut my hair because, God, you said that there would be angels with me when I prayed. And she said, Lord, I've done this in submission to you, that I could pray for needs like this. And she prayed for that child's leg. And when she took that hair off that leg was the same size. I saw it. I saw it. Listen to what I'm saying here today. See, what you don't understand is that submission gives you access. Submission to God gives you access to so many things. It gives you access to change problems and issues and situations. Come on, if the world was perfect, it wouldn't need the people of God. And you need to look at your unperfect situation and say, I'm going to change it with my submission to God. Am I making sense right now? I'm going to think the right way. God, if you've put me here, there's a reason why I'm here. Come on. And see, I don't know what some of you are fighting, but I feel like some of you need to think. And you need not to think it's strange that you're going through this fiery trial of your faith. Listen, fire don't add value to the gold. The fire brings the value out of the gold. It takes care of the impurities. Why don't we let this trouble be a testimony to God's word that God is faithful and God is true? Why don't this church today stand up and say, you know what? We're in this thing for the long haul. We're going to see little by little by little by little. Come on, we're going to see God break the roof off of this place. We're going to see God do things we never thought God could do. And he's not just going to do it in a moment. He's going to do it every day we wake up. We're going to take more territory little by little by little. I found out people that live that can find that place in the unseen in a service. When people can walk in and find a place of worship, find a place of prayer, go deep in the things of God, that God's got a way of stepping in and taking little territory, little territory, little territory, little territory. We took that church with all those problems. Financial, it looks like we were going to be under. I remember writing a $9 check to missions 1 month, and I was crying, not because I was thankful we were sending some. I was embarrassed. I was sending $9, but I knew if God couldn't trust me with nine, he wasn't going to trust me with hundreds or thousands. Do you realize it just took us about 3 years, 3.5 years, and we started giving 20% of the income of our church to global and home missions? Are you hearing me today? And it didn't happen. I remember when my wife walked in with, she looked on my desk as our weekly giving and all that, and she saw what we had given, and she said, Nathan, look at the monthly income. Look at what we gave to missions. She said, we're at over 20%, and we didn't even know it. You want to know what happened? Every day, we took a little by little, little by little. How are we going to get in this new building? Little by little. Well, Pastor, I don't think we need it. Oh, I see it. You're going to need it. Anybody got some little by little in your mind? Could this church go deep right here? Would you lift your hands with me? God, I preach what you gave me. Now I put it in your hands. I want you to join prophetically, Lord, with this church tonight. You see these hungry people, the things that they're facing, God, in their families, in their jobs, Lord, in their lives. Lord, I want you to open their hearts up to the things of the Lord right now. Let the word of God reach to them right now. Let the anointing of the Lord talk to them right now.
Let them open their mind, God. Let them open their spirit to see. Lord, I pray right now, God, that they would allow you to speak to them. Lord, let them not think the enemy's winning. Let them not think the enemy's got this thing in control of their lives. Let them realize, Lord, if you've brought them to it, you're going to take them through it. Lord, that your hand is with them. Is there anybody feel like praying tonight? Would anybody like to join me around these altars tonight? Come on, just for a few minutes, would you step out? Would you walk out and say, man, I need you to touch my mind tonight. Come on, what if you could get over some of this frustration, some of this depression, some of these things that's got your mind bound? What if you could allow God to use that right now? Come on. Woo. Come on, open your heart. Open your mind tonight. God, I don't know why it hadn't happened yet. Oh, it's little by little. I don't know where to go now. Oh, it's little by little. I don't know what to do right now. It's little by little. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, would you praise him? Come on, would you praise him just for a few moments today? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, come on, come on, come on. I want you to go a little bit deeper. Would you close your eyes and lift up your voice? I want you to go a little bit deeper tonight. Come on, there's people that need a touch from the Lord tonight. Hitataya masata yalabaha. Come on, help me right here. Help me right here and tap in. Woo. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, don't fight what God's going to use to bring every prophecy in your life to come to pass. Hallelujah! Shadabayalabayalaba hikoto inabayalabaha. Come on, why don't you find somebody and pray with them right now? Come on, come on, touch somebody. Pray with someone. Make contact with them right now. Come on, come on, come on, come on. There's a restoration of strength and anointing and dreams right now. Oh, hila baha shataya la baha. Come on, there's restoration of dreams and anointings in this place tonight. Come on, come on. He, I love Jose.